So the name of the lesson is God Renews His Covenant. And we're in the book of Exodus. So some of these lessons, it's hard to go verse by verse. So if you read the thing that I wrote up, I kind of focused on all the covenants down through history. But what did you come up with when
I went clear back to Exodus 20. You know that these people, they even heard God speaking from the mountain, and they got afraid that they was going to die, so they asked Moses to be their mediator. So they even showed their sins right then by being afraid and not having faith in the first place, when they knew for a fact that nothing was going to happen with God on that mountain. But they went ahead and made the golden calf anyways, and right then they were already rejecting God. But God, He reacts to all of our failures in this life, is always love toward us. Even though at times we need correction or that we suffer consequences, it's always done in love.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm lumper right in there with her. But anyway, see, God, they was end up two different Ten Commandments. Moses got upset with the people down there. He told it and busted it and everything. But through Moses' prayer, that's where they ended up getting, God gave them the new commandments, Ten Commandments there. But you know, that's where it goes back with us too, you know. In order for us to get in contact we desire God's service with us as a situation like when somebody's in trials and stuff like that. We need His mercy so much, and it's something. I mean, it's a situation with me and my family. Keeps me on my knees so much for His mercy to. Because you see so much agony, especially my wife. I'll be honest with you. I hear her crying a lot, kind of pain and all. And like I told her, I said, "What can I do?" And really, nothing I can do but just pray and pray that God will have mercy upon her.
Yeah. So God made several covenants with man, and he made these covenants to help with his relationship with mankind. So every covenant that he made, it was a promise, and it was supposed to be a mutual commitment. God's part was unbreakable, but man tend to break his side of the covenant, but it was supposed to be a mutual commitment. And the ultimate goal of every covenant was to restore a broken relationship, because God made a covenant with man broke the covenant, the relationship was broken. So that's what the goal of the covenant was. The broken relationship started back with Adam. God, you know, when Adam and Eve transgressed, and that broke that relationship with God. So the covenants God made, they were meant as an insurance of His love. So this is what He done that for, and it was supposed to provide a security with the people that He was making the covenant with, so that they would always know that God was there, God was faithful, even when they would fall short of His glory, they would still understand and have this security. So as you look at some of the covenants as you go through the Old Testament, then you'll see that God was always the one that initiated the covenant. God was always the one that set the terms and conditions of the covenant. So it wasn't something that he was willing to negotiate, but it also wasn't something that couldn't be followed if they would have chose to have followed it in their life. So the covenants were really a gift to the people, and it was a gift of promises, unconditional promises. It was free, and he was just using these covenants because he wanted to fulfill not just man's purpose, but he wanted to fulfill his purpose through mankind. So when you look at some of the covenants in the Old Testament, then I wrote down a few in your papers if you printed them off. But one of the first covenants was the covenant with Noah. And that, I gave you some scripture, but you got to read more than just the verse that I gave you. But in Genesis chapter 9, verse 11.
You know, while you're going through that, you know, I was thinking that what did Jesus do with the covenant? There was a, you know, God gave a covenant, and then Jesus a covenant too in his time, and of course again he was there just to fulfill the law.
The law, yeah. So in Genesis 9:11 it says, "I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth." And then, of course, he says he said, "This is a token of the covenant which I made between you and every living creature with you." And he said, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." So he made a covenant that he would never again destroy the earth with a flood, and then he signified this by, we see it as the rainbow. Here it says that I do set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be for a token. So that we see it as the rainbow. So I wonder if anybody nowadays, when they see a rainbow, even thinks about that it was it's a sign of a covenant that God made with man, with the earth itself, that he wouldn't do that no longer. So, go ahead.
Every time I see one of them rainbows, I says, "Now watch, there's going to be a double now. You keep an eye on that there, because you're going to see another one."
So then and over in chapter 17 of Genesis,
for any doubters, I guess.
He talks about the covenant that he made with Abraham over in chapter 17, starting with verse 7. He said, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan." So this covenant, it covered what?
That he'd make them a mighty great nation.
Sure, it covered everybody on the earth, all the families of the earth, because when he made this covenant, he said, "Between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations," and he said, "It's everlasting." So from the seed of Abraham came Christ. Through Christ came the covenant that we have. So this was a covenant established with all the families of the earth, and it was eternal. So this covenant is actually still in place because of, and it'll continue to be in place clear through until the new heaven and the new earth.
Now, was that broken down from Isaac?
Huh?
Was that broken down from Isaac?
Well, it started with Abraham. God's the one that Abraham he made the covenant with, and then it passed down through all the generations of Abraham. So, and then of course the one we're talking about today, now this is would be the first part of the covenant that we're talking about today over in Exodus chapter 19. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, he says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." So this covenant would be the first set of laws that was given. And of course, the law was given because there was no law up until this point. So the law was given because God wanted to establish Israel as a nation. And that was the only way to do it was through the law, because there had to be some kind of instruction in order to be able to establish them as a nation. And then, of course, we'll get into the second part of that covenant, because Moses broke the first covenant, literally broke it when he threw down the Ten Commandments. So, but we'll get to that in a minute. So then in 2 Samuel, then there was a covenant made with David. And that's in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And in verse 16, and it says, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever, according to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David." So this covenant that was made with David, and you got to go back to the first part of chapter 7, where it actually talks about the covenant. But this covenant was made with David that a king would come through his bloodline or his lineage, which would be Christ. And then he said that king would reign on the throne forever, sat on the throne forever. So that was a covenant made with David concerning the coming of Christ. And then, of course, you jump on over into the grace dispensation period today. And there are several places that mention the covenant in the Old Testament, but I picked out a verse in Hebrews. We don't, because sometimes you don't really look at some of these types of verses when you're studying things like this. But over in Hebrews, it tells about this covenant. Hebrews chapter 8. Starting with verse 6, he said, "But now he hath been obtained." Let me make sure I'm in. Yeah, 8, 6 through 13. "A mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." Now, the first covenant talking about here, meaning the law. And it said, "For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." So then that speaks of a covenant. So the first covenant made would have been the covenant we're talking about today in our Sunday school lesson. Then Christ came, which that covenant was made with everybody, the Jewish people and the Gentile people. And then he talks about a new covenant that'll be made, and that'll be during the 1,000 years. That'll be made with Israel, because Israel is known as Christ's wife, and he'll reestablish or make a new covenant with them because they broke the other covenant. So then a new covenant will have to be made with them again and reestablished. So all of these covenants are based upon restoring humanity, and they're all based upon the covenant that Christ made when he came, this grace dispensation period, for redemption.
That probably has a lot to do with why they said God is a consuming fire, because he was so jealous. I mean, he got so jealous, so hostile at the Israelites back at the, in the earlier part of the Old Testament, you might say. But, like you say, it's his family.
Yeah, so if you jump on down into that chapter 8 to the last verse in 13, it says, "In that he saith, a new covenant hath he made, the first old, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." So all the old covenants were just a shadow or a foreshadow of things that was God had in store that was going to happen or take place with mankind. And then, of course, as you said, Christ came and fulfilled the law, but the covenants are still in place. So the new covenant, it wasn't in addition to the old covenant, but it was a fulfillment of the old covenant. So, and that doesn't mean the old covenant was done away with. It just means that Christ fulfilled the old covenant when he came, all the things that it talked about, and now it points everybody in the same direction for this relationship that we need to have with God.
It's like, so, the old covenant was written on the stone, the new covenant's written in your heart.
Right.
It's all pertains to the same. I mean, nothing changes.
So all of the people that go through the tribulation period and into the 1,000 years, then there'll be a new covenant. That will be mostly the Jewish people. There'll be a new covenant established with them during the 1,000 years, and then God will reunite them with him once again as his wife.
I think about that a lot. You know, he says, talk from your heart, not from your gut, because, you know, your heart is what's supposed to be filled with the Word of God.
Yeah. So it's kind of like the Bible. Well, it talks a little bit about divorce, but it talks about putting them away privately. So that's what God done with Israel when they broke the covenant with them. Then he kind of put them away. He didn't leave them or abandon them, but it said he put them away privily or privately, and then he turned a lot of the focus to the Gentile people.
He allowed them to go out in the wilderness, in other words, into the world, and live for a while to see what reality is.
Right.
So that last new covenant that you're talking about won't have anything to do with us?
No, because we're the bride of Christ. We're already married the time we come back down during the 1,000 years. So that covenant will just be a covenant established with Israel to kind of reinstate them once again.
You're up there enjoying the sunshine, taking
up vacation while it's so in Exodus 34, then we'll read the first few verses. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning into Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee." If you remember last time, Aaron came up halfway, but he said throughout the mount, "Neither let the flocks nor the herd feed before the mount," because the last time the people were allowed to gather around the bottom. But it says, so he hewed out two tables of stone like unto the first. Moses rose up early in the morning, went unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, and there proclaimed the name of the Lord.
So the tablets were broken. So this would have showed the broken relationship between God and his people due to disobedience, right?
Yeah, see, the first covenant, this is why it had to be done again. So when Moses broke the tablets the first time, then he made that covenant of no effect then.
Could you imagine, you know how long it would have took him to cut out the second tablet?
Oh, yeah.
How heavy they would have been to drag all the way on that hill again,
yeah,
by himself. Was that part of his punishment?
Well, that would have probably been part of a lot of the consequences would have been what was going on when he broke the first.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Now, wasn't Aaron allowed to go up halfway with that?
Not the first time.
Yeah.
He went halfway.
Yeah.
But the second time, nobody was allowed to come up. So the first covenant was made of no effect because of sin, because worldly anger was sin, and that's when the first set of tablets were broken. So once Moses broke those tablets, then there was no, it was just like before the tablets, there was no covenant in effect then because Moses broke it. He destroyed the first, so, and that was because of sin. So, but because God was merciful, then he allowed, you know, he said, well, we'll do it again.
Yeah.
So what this did when Moses obeyed what God's instruction was and started making another set of tablets, then this was the opportunity now for a renewed covenant, for another covenant. It didn't happen yet, but at least Moses was going in the right direction for this covenant. So
it had to be done the hard way.
Yeah. Yeah, the first time God done it himself, but because of sin and because of worldly anger or emotion, then Moses made that of no effect, so now it had to be done again, and now Moses was going to have to put a little effort into doing it to show that he was sincere about this covenant. So and this was all part of God's plan anyhow, because everything that we have in our life is a choice. We have to. So see, God gave the first set, but Moses had to make the choice for Israel for it to be effective. Moses chose for it not to be effective. So now, in order for it to be acknowledged by God, then Moses had to choose, and part of his choosing was, now he had to put the work into making it effective. So he had to move past. So the first time was kind of easy. Moses went up, God handed him the tablets, and Moses thought everything was going to be great until Satan interfered, temptation, and then so the next time. And this, like I said, this was all part of God's plan. So the next time Moses was a little more, when he was doing it, he was a little more cautious about following after God's instruction. So instead of just the words, then he had to apply that. And that's like our life in Christ. If we don't apply, if there's no application, then the words don't do any good. So in this part, the words didn't do any good because there was no application. But the second time, there was application.
A lot of it.
So So he, Moses paid attention the second time around.
That's where the word surrender come in at. Or Moses had to really surrender into Christ there.
Right. So it says once God came down and met with Moses, he said, "The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation.'" So this covenant now, which would go into effect, it said it wasn't by any means going to pass over what they done the first time around and made it a no effect.
Choice.
Yeah, so in these covenants, and which we have a covenant now as well, because Christ brought in this new covenant that we have, the only one that is committed in the relationship is God, or in our case, Christ. We're not committed. I mean, we're like Moses. We're kind of committed until temptation comes along. And thankfully, when we throw our fits, we don't make the covenant of no effect, because it's a permanent covenant. But we still, as he said here, he said, by no means does it clear the guilty. So that's even in our relationship with God. So
even the consequences that we receive out of God's love is temporary. Because, I mean, he could have, this is to the third and fourth generation, but, I mean, he could have said, well, it'll be forever.
Right.
Even today, our consequences are temporary because of his love for us.
That's right.
That's where he says he'll make all things new. Mm-hmm. So that next covenant, next generation will be smooth sailing, I might say.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that he was telling Moses here is because, you know, now Moses was making a petition to God for this new covenant. And the first time that Moses went up and made a petition to God, it was kind of like a miraculous, something spectacular, because God done the commandments himself. But that wasn't going to be the way this time. So there was no spectacular display of God's power this time. But what he did do was he revealed unto Moses, he revealed who he was, his character. And he said, this is what I'm going to reveal to you, that I'm merciful, I'm gracious, I'm long-suffering, I'm abundant, I'm going to keep my mercy, but you're still going to pay the consequences for what you done, and the children of Israel are going to pay the consequences for what they done. So this is one thing that we learn in our life today, that God still shows us his character, and it's always loving, it's always compassionate. He always wants us to see his true attributes so that we might gain understanding from our wisdom and knowledge, but that by no means clears the guilty, meaning that by no means takes away the consequences of what we've done. So this is what Moses probably went up, even though God made him hew out the two tables of stone, Moses probably went up figuring, well, it'll be like last time. But God said, no, it's not going to be like last time.
That'd be almost like pick up your cross and call me.
You know? Right. So God proclaims a lot of his promises to us, but that doesn't always mean that he's gonna do the works as well. So he still gives us grace, he gives us mercy, compassion, and love, but we're the ones that has to endure.
Yes.
So it's not something that we're getting something that we didn't earn anyhow.
Exactly.
But you know, when somebody gives you something you didn't earn, usually you want what?
More.
And that's kind of probably what Moses thought when he went on the mountain. Well, I didn't earn it, but you know, I want God will give it to me anyhow. But and God did; He supplied it. But Moses had to do his part in order to receive it.
Sometimes we gotta be careful not be spoiled.
Right.
Moses could have just agreed with him and said, "Get rid of those people."
You're right. Yeah. So. So this is what he was trying to explain to Moses here. So he says, Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshiped and said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. So when he said pardon, he said it was to forgive us, but God forgives us all the time, but that doesn't mean he's taken away the consequences of that sinfulness. So we have to, our life today is based upon the Holy Spirit that indwells within us, that convicts us and helps us to always look towards God's mercy and grace for forgiveness. And then sometimes God demonstrates his forgiveness through the punishment that we're getting. A lot of people would just say, okay, Lord, forgive me and let me go on my merry way. But sometimes the consequences that we suffer are actually a demonstration of how God's forgiving us for those things that we've done.
Yeah, and that's to teach us and help us to grow.
Right. So when this happens in our life, then here it gave Moses confidence, so it gives us confidence. If you notice, he said Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and worshiped the Lord. So even though he was suffering the consequences of what he'd done, he knew that his reaction was to thank God or to worship the Lord for, you know, like you said, God didn't have to renew the covenant that Moses made in no effect, but God wanted to, and because of that, then Moses gained confidence because of that.
Well, wasn't it the second time, I just read this last night, wasn't it the second time where Moses hid in the crevice and God passed over him with his great glory, and then...
It said in the cleft of the rock,
yeah.
But he couldn't see, he couldn't look upon it. He could just.
Yeah.
So Moses got to experience God's presence, and that's what our ultimate goal should be, is to experience his presence, not to always see or have God do for us with some kind of, even though God does still do miracles today and he does still work spectacular works, but our goal isn't that, but a lot of people's goal is that. That's why they have all these services that this service is just for healing, or this service is just for this, because that's what he wants to see is the spectacular miracles and stuff, but that's not always who God is.
No, he wants an unbroken spiritual commitment.
Right. The inheritance that we gain is, and that's what Moses said here, He said, pardon our iniquity and take us for thine inheritance. So Moses was now happy with just being part of God's family. He didn't need to have all the other. And that's what God chooses for us in our life today. We should be happy with just being in the presence of the Lord, and then everything else that he shows us or gives unto us is a bonus to glorify God.
It's a shame his anger got the best of him in the end, and he didn't even get to see the promised land.
Right. Yes, and that's again because of sinful worldly anger and not following God's instruction. You thought he would have learned the first. You thought he would have learned on the mountain with the stone, two tablets of stone, but he didn't.
Look how many times Moses did that and still got not to see the promised land. I mean, you know, you think about people out here every day. Well, I call it denying Christ or what he does for us. But my goodness, wow.
Yeah. So in the rest of these few verses, it says, "And he said, Behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done." So here he's reestablishing the covenant. "And all the people which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee." And he says, "Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee." And he's talking about them going to the promised land. "Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land." So this is what we're not supposed to be making covenants. God's the one that does that. So, and he said, the reason I'm telling you this, and of course they done it anyhow, he said, when you go in, I've already taken care of this, but if you turn around and make your own covenant with the inhabitants of the land, then he said, you're just going to be like them. So you're not going to now adhere to the covenant that you have with me, because you're going to be making your own covenant. So he said, so to keep this from happening, he said, you need to destroy their altars, break their images, cut down their groves. And he said, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God.
We're his people. He's got the right to lay down any laws he wants.
Right. So even though God chooses to forgive us, we have to choose to remain faithful. And that's what part of this was talking about. So, but even when we betray him, he's not going to abandon us, but there has to be some repentance so that he can restore us into his righteousness. So God always promises to do the things that we can't accomplish on our own, but we have to choose to abide by his covenants when this happens in our life. So every day there's going to be some kind of challenge, and it's going to require us to follow after this covenant that we have with Christ. So that's why when he told Micah, he said, God shows us what's required of us. And he says to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. That, so God requires that from us. Huh?
He requires it, but it's our choice.
Yes, we have to make the choice to do that. So that's how we honor God, is through our obedience. That's how Israel would have honored God, was through their obedience. And they did at times, but then at times they were disobedient. And then, of course, the wrath and condemnation of God had to set them straight. So we have to choose, just like they did, just like Adam and Eve did, we have to choose to walk in this closeness of our relationship with him. And if we don't choose to do that, then we're never going to be able to follow after the things that he requires of us to follow after. So then the things in our life are not going to happen as God has planned for them to happen as we go through these things in our life.
And mankind just got a bad habit of following whoever.
Yeah. Moses could have avoided all of this the first time. But since the tablets were a free gift, he took them for granted. And that's a lot of times when we take our free gift for granted a lot of times.
Temptation and patience right there. Oh, I'm going to mess up.
Yes. So.